So tell me about the New York St. Pats and how Martin Carter becomes who he is.
Martin Carter grows up in Toronto and goes to St. Mike's, the Catholic hockey factory, which has been very influential in creating NHL players, producing them, and gets a scholarship to Princeton, where he's a star and leads them out of the doldrums, and they start winning NCAA titles, and he gets drafted as a promising, most very promising rookie by the New York St. Patricks, whose glory days, they last won the cup in 1969. So Carter comes in the early 90s as the great white hope of the New York St. Patricks, and he wins the Rookie of the Year award in his first year, and his promise is limitless, and his talent is fabulous, and he's a bit of a scholar too, so he's different. And in his sophomore year, he gets cheap-shotted, which sends him flying headfirst into a goal net. In the year before they came off the pegs, they were still anchored into the ice, and it was cold, hard steel, and his collision with the net gives him a grade three concussion, and the doctors tell him, one more hit on the head and you're dead. So the owner of the St. Patrick's, John J. O'Connor, gives him a front office job out of loyalty. He knows that, I mean, Carter's got no pension to speak of. He hasn't played enough games in the league. The salaries at that time, even the early 90s, would surprise people to hear how low they were. I mean, the highest paid player in the league in the mid-90s was Wayne Gretzky, and he was making $3.7 million a year. And that's Wayne Gretzky. So you can calibrate the rest of them from that. So Carter needs the job, and O'Connor gives it to him out of loyalty. And that's where we find him when the novel opens, as a guy who's director of community relations, hosting pancake breakfast for orphans and going to rinks all over the place, and a guy who's supremely talented who can't play anymore, and now he has to watch the game he was once so good at. And he's got this head injury that could kill him if he gets knocked on the head again.
Martin tends to think, how do you describe it, with his little head rather than his big head at times? Is that a good way of phrasing it?
That's a very good way of phrasing it, yeah.
Which leads us to the woman who doesn't give too much away because she gets knocked off pretty early.
She does.
Stunningly gorgeous, smart.
Yeah, and evil. And he gets seduced by her. He's been out of the game for a while. He, you know, got dumped by a woman he thought he was in love with. And he meets up with this woman, Haley Rawls, who's a video journalist who's working on a website for the New York St. Pat's star player, who's a bit of a talented goon named Link Andrechuk, the missing link. And this woman plays Martin Carter initially because he's used to her to get some footage, and then plays him again when she has something that she thinks she can sell. So she tries to blackmail him. That's when he realizes he's been played. So once again, you know, he thought he'd boldly step back into the romance game and see where it went with her, because she is a babe. It ends badly, very badly, in fact, because she's dead and it looks like he did it.
This team is at that point where they're about to become corporatized,
Yeah.
and you know it's the end of an era.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's got a job on a handshake,
Yeah.
and he knows that that guy over there wants him gone.
Yep. Wants him, very much wants him gone, because he's redolent of it's the new regime has been brought in from Wall Street. These guys who are now running the team were casualties of Wall Street's latest calamity.
We call them bean counters, I think, to be disparaging.
Yeah, and money guys, you know, they're used to making stuff out of air. Not only did I want the team to be on the verge of changing identity and have an end of an era, but present the new regime as a real danger to what we all love about the game and what Martin Carter loves about this New York St. Patrick's being a family to him and not a brand.
You also play with sexual politics
I do.
quite a bit, because hockey players have had pretty light reporting, and the things that happen aren't always pleasant, and they're not necessarily always with puck bunnies. Sometimes it's guys with each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's the reporting of that, so you're absolutely right. It's a bit like the reporting of the JFK White House, where there was this tacit agreement between the White House and the press that they wouldn't mention the parade of women going in extramaritally to the White House and having it off with JFK. Hockey's been a bit like that, and it only comes out when something truly awful happens in a negative light, you know, like Graham James, or like the Mike Danton incident with David Frost. So they don't talk about something that we know as a society has to exist. they're gay players, they're gay fans. You know, players have sex with women they're not married to on the road. You know, all kinds of stuff goes on, especially when you look at the bubble in which they live, where, you know, you play 15 minutes a night 82 times a year, and you get chauffeured to and fro, paid an enormous amount of money, fly around in charters, put up in the best hotels, have more in per diem money than people make in a day, in addition to your salary. It'd be very, very easy to lose touch with reality in that kind of environment. And to think that you were protected from everything, too, because you were in it. And yet, oddly enough, they are. You know, I mean, it's something that I wanted to explore because it's hockey's so afraid of it. I mean, especially the homosexual angle.
I can't wait to read the rest of the series. I think he's going to be a great detective character. It's
well,
a lot of fun.
Thanks, Craig. I'm grateful that you said that. I think so, too. I like him a lot. And he's not based on anybody other than, you know, figment of my imagination. And a bit of Brendan Shanahan. but if Shanahan hears this, all the good on-ice talent bits and none of the nasty digging around in the murky world of homicide bits. That's me.
The book is The Penalty Killing, a Martin Carter mystery. I've been speaking with the author Michael McKinley, and The Penalty Killing, published by McClelland and Stewart.